Hey, listeners, it's Jen. Welcome back to my conversation with Amanda B. from the Six Degrees of Cats podcast and the New York City-based rock and roll band Leathered. Please enjoy part two of our conversation now.
But anyway, what are you listening to, Jen?
Well, you know what? I've been listening to a whole lot of your music, Amanda.
Oh, my God.
Which I love it, though. You know, I have to tell you this. It's been so great to sort of get to know you through your music this week, right? Like, we originally met, I alluded to it a little bit in the intro, when you were helping out over at the Podcast Academy. Yeah. And you were so great. You welcomed me in. I felt, like, so warm in your presence. You introduced me to people that have been valuable resources. So I'm so appreciative for your time there. But getting to know you through your music, it felt like this whole other Amanda exists that I got to know. And I'm like, and I really like her too. Like,
oh my God.
So it was so fun to kind of get to know two Amandas. And I don't know how, I feel like that must happen a lot for you though. Like, people meet you in a professional setting and then they get into your music and they're like, oh, this feels like a different kind of gal than what I was thinking. Does that happen to you a lot?
Oh, absolutely. Well, Jen, yeah. For people who don't look at a picture of me, I'm already surprising people when I walk in the room because my name doesn't, my legal name does not match my face. I'm Korean American, but I was adopted. And then, you know, I spent many years of my career working in like public health. I worked with Alzheimer's research, and then I moved into gender-based violence prevention, hence that log line you had to read about my professional background.
I love.
And so, we all have to code switch and embody different sides of ourselves. And I have to say, you're meeting me at a time when I'm finally feeling encouraged and, you know, welcomed to integrate a lot of these aspects of who I am, the right and the left brain, if you will, even though the neuroscience shows that it's not that bifurcated.
Right. Still. Well, I want to talk about this. So the first song that I've been listening to of yours this week is a song called Indictment by Leathered. So I like this song had everything like an old school rock and roll gal likes. Like, I have to say, like, over the years, I've spent so much time in clubs listening to bands. It's my favorite thing to do, right? And I love a big stadium show. Like, don't get me wrong, like, for an artist that I'm really like into, I will go see a big stadium show. But for me, and especially now, I just find myself longing to get back to like those small clubs where there's a band that's playing and they're playing like there are thousands of people there, whether there are or whether there are 30 people there. Yeah. You know, like that, you just like that excitement or that feeling that you get from being that intimate with a band is so cool to me. It's one of the things that I love about being a fan and not a musician, right? I think I don't nitpick about like, oh, that person's out of time or, wow, oh, that was a crazy chord switch or whatever, because I just get to enjoy what I'm hearing and the mood and the vibe. And so that's I think why this song was the one that landed. I really also love All Right, Get the Hell Out of Dodge. Oh. That's also such a good one on this album. But this one just, it made me want to see the band live. It's like everything I love, the guitar, the drums, a strong female vocalist, like, oh, it delivered everything for me. So tell me about Crazy Pills or Leathered. I think in your bio, it says that this was first conceived of starting a band, mm-hmm. even it sounds like in 2010, because yeah. you had these bits and pieces of mm-hmm. songs. So can you share a little bit about like how that came into being and what made you like, what was the forcing function, if there was one, for you to finally say like, okay, I've got all this stuff, I'm going to put it together and make a thing.
Oh my gosh. Well, first, thank you so much. I will Venmo you all for all those said, you know, wink, wink. It's so interesting. You know, I cut my teeth actually fronting a band and writing songs in Japan, because you really are given a soft landing pad. People are too polite to be blunt.
Perfect. But,
I moved to New York. I started my first band through Craigslist around 2008. It was more of a shoegaze band. That project's called okay. Adolescence. It's a bit, it's in hiatus. That's fine. But then I met and then eventually married this person who fronted this band called Pow Wow, and they were kind of rising in this niche pocket in Brooklyn that was eventually bands like the Pains of Being Pure at Heart, I think is their name, and a few other bands kind of came out of. And they're dormant, but the songs are still active. They were released on a small indie imprint out here. And I became the lead guitarist. But then I still had all these fragments of songs. Some of them were very old. Some of them were just like riffs. And any songwriter, I'm sure you know, you'll get an idea and you have to write it down and you build off of it. And so I put out a call to recruit a drummer and a bassist. And we would, you know, I was the primary songwriter, although I would say for All Right, that bass line was composed by Steph, who is now in Florida. The first line kind of was very volatile because people had to move and things it's just very hard in your 20s when you're working really hard.
Tale as old as time, right? The old shifting band lineup.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's basically the through line here. So Crazy Pills, you know, I was like, that's the perfect. I mean, I love Will Ferrell. And I also was like, that's how I've always felt. People are like, you're so crazy. Why aren't you blah, blah, blah? And I was like, you know, I feel like I'm actually totally fine. What is going on? If I'm not normal, then I don't want to be normal. So yes. I felt that it was very validating and affirming. And it kind of tied into my through line of just like seeing people for where they're at and validating people on their mental journey. Not in a pejorative way. I mean, you have to have a sense of humor, but I respect people's boundaries on that. We crystallize in the lineup that you hear on the vinyl, which is still for sale on Bandcamp. I still have a few under
love.
My bed. And incidentally, magically, you're going to love this. About a year later, this friend who we had been playing with he was in another band, had to go on hiatus because he had kids, and he is also a film producer. And we went to a Nick Cave show. So this is a year after, we were like, okay, we have to find a new drummer. Bummer, but it happens. And we're at a Nick Cave show. I ran into this drummer and he said, yeah, well, you know, no pressure, but I'd love to, you know, if you want, I'd love to rock out with you. I'm like,
please.
Where did you come from? Thank you. So he started rehearsing with us and we played our first show together, I think just before the pandemic.
Oh, perfect timing.
Perfect timing. And then, but you know, we're writing new songs together. So that's Leathered. And so we do still play out all the songs on Restless. That's still our compositions.
Okay.
But yeah, an Indictment, I think you can kind of get a sense, you know, it was released. When was it released?
2014 is what I read in the bio, and then Spotify lists as 2018, but I imagine that's probably just when it got put onto Spotify. But
yeah, you know, I think you can get a sense of what was starting to foment around the time that song was being written.
Yes, and now it's becoming more clear.
It's coming around.
But I love, again, like, I'm not sure. Did you write Indictment? Did you co-write it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get into lyrics here too. Oh. You know me, I'm a lyrics nerd. And so when I can talk to the person that actually wrote them, it makes me so, so happy. But your tongue is thick with lies. I'm always just like, oh, as soon as I heard that, I was like, I know people like that. Ew. And it's like, you wonder, like, how can they even speak because their tongue is so heavy with all of the like nonsense that they're spewing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was just, again, another great way. I love it when somebody can take a thought that I've had 100 times and put it in like a perfect, succinct line that you're like, yes, that's the way to say that. So that line. And then you repeat it later sort of in different forms, but you're the deceiver that I believed in.
Yeah.
You will be paying back your dues.
Yep.
I'm just like, oh, it's so good. It's just like, it's sassy. It's like, I can feel, maybe contempt is a strong word, but I can feel some of that. Like, it feels like, you know, it feels like there's something there, like you said, something brewing, something that's upsetting, and you get that in the song. And then I love too how your voice and almost emotional intent change throughout the song. Like, there's a part where you say, "Don't it feel great to be in the glamour of your newfound fame?" And your voice changes in a way there that it almost feels like a taunt.
Yeah.
Like you're saying it almost like a nanny, nanny, boo, boo, yeah, you know, yeah, like, yeah. And it's so great. Like just little moments like that in a song are what I live for. Whenever you're like, that's intentional. She did that on purpose, you know, or it's like, you can tell it's not an accident. You can tell that's what you were trying to get across. And I just loved the clarity behind it. It was so good.
Okay. Jen, thank you. I'm so honored that you took the time to really like think through and are enjoying that song. It's so much fun to play. It's a great riff to be able to, it's very empowering. We included that in our release show for the Leathered record that you've listened to as well. And that release show was literally the day the Supreme Court took away the bodily autonomy of women and people with ovaries. Let's be real. And yeah. I was just, it felt so, it was very cathartic. Every person in the room who was keyed into how I was feeling, and you felt it really was like, okay, this is very empowering.
You know? I'm so sad. And like, I'm jumping in here because I wish I would have known you were playing because I was in New York City the day that happened. Oh, I was there with my daughter and we were both just like wandering around the city all day, just like not believing what had happened. And New York was like a magnetic place to be that day. Yeah. It really was. Like there were so many people that were feeling the same way. And I was happy that we were there and not at home here in Texas. So not embarrassed to say that. I'm taking a Natalie Maines Dixie Chicks or the Chicks, sorry, stance here. Yeah. Like I was really glad I was in New York and not Texas on that day.
Yeah, it's so good to be in community. And it's funny because I've evolved so much as a person, as we all have, as an artist, as a professional, as a human. And you know, a long time ago I was super, I just didn't have the capacity or the scaffolding or the vocabulary to think about myself and the broader political landscape that I have to exist in. But you know, women and people of color and people across the gender and ability and the sexuality spectrum, the religious, ethnic, you know, all of those dimensions of our personalities and who we are, you are forced to, you can't not be. I wouldn't say I'm a political artist, but it's baked and infused into everything you compose. And you know this as a creative as well. You're not going to be informed in shaping your thoughts and your opinions around these experiences. And that's going to put you into these discussions. But I'm
for
glad
sure, and especially
your daughter when you had that.
Well, and I'm glad that there are songs and that there are things, that there are releases that we can all experience together, right? Like there wouldn't be, it's always funny, you know, when people ask me, like, why do you host a music podcast if you're not a musician? And I'm like, well, because music would still exist without fans, but I think it would be a really different space, right? And so I love that I get to take in what somebody else is releasing, if that makes sense. Like it makes me feel more a part of, like you were talking about, like being in community with others. And so when I can only imagine like how powerful it must have been to hear Indictment on that day live in New York City. Like I would have been, it would have been just the thing I needed, just the like screaming cathartic moment that that I needed.
Oh, thank you, Jen. Thanks for the affirmation. And yeah, and it's funny because, you know, Indictment is up for grabs on interpretation. I had a lot of visuals in my head. You know, the riff came first for me, but then sometimes it's very magical where you have an accompanying lyric that just is right there with it rhythmically and thematically. And it just, you know, that doesn't come from nowhere, you know. But yeah.
So good. So, so good. Well, and then as much as I loved sort of the poke fun and the nanny, nanny, boo, boo attitude of Indictment, I loved the sweetness of Ours.
Yeah.
My next pick. So the song that will round out our playlist today is Ours by Leathered. And it's Ours like time, not like you and I. Although also up for interpretation lyrically as you're listening. But when you're trying to find the song, know that it's like Hours like time, not Hours like you and I.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I love that you picked up on that. That was intentional. And yeah, I think with Hours, maybe you, my hope is that, you know, some of my influences might sort of be a little bit more obvious. No, I mean, probably an indictment too, but I don't hear many represent an indictment so much. Yeah, that song was written really a little bit more closely to the release date of that album. Okay. And the album is called A Reckoning.
Yes.
Very thematically appropriate. Restless is the name of the album that Indictment is on. And yeah, ours is, I'd be curious to hear like your thoughts on its vibes, its tones, anything that stood out to you, because it was very painterly for me, because the sound itself is more of a wall of sound production approach. We worked with a wonderful Jeff Berner out of Studio G. And Jeff has, you know, was a member of Psychic TV with the late great Genesis Peoridge, and then just is a wonderful guitarist himself. And it was just a pleasure to collaborate with him and get to use a lot of beautiful shimmery production to really bring out the dreamy kind of surreal aspects.
Well, let me tell you the note that I wrote, and we'll see how you feel about it. This is always a dangerous game that I play with artists.
Love it.
So the note that I wrote after listening, maybe it wasn't the first time I listened. It was probably after three listens, I would say. So it wasn't like deep into the week when I'm getting into like 10, 12 listens, but like midway through, like three listens of the song. And I wrote, I get Patti Smith dancing barefoot vibes if it were released in the early 90s, early 2000s versus 1979. So does that make sense? Right? Like it still has that like indie, like rock and roll New York time frame that I love, right? Where you're talking about like, you know, when like the Strokes are coming up and LCD Sound System and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs and like all of that's happening, like that early sound that I love so much that I gravitate to all the time. I'm like, that's what this felt like to me. Like you took this great, like really I like enigmatic is the word that I kept writing down, like a song like Dancing Barefoot, and like that's what ours kind of sounded like to me, like a modern sensibility to a song like that. Does that make sense at all?
I love everything about this, and I have to say I am embarrassed to say I do so admire and respect Patti Smith. I actually don't know this song very well.
Oh, you'll have to listen.
Yeah, this is the coolest. I have to say, it's such a cool thing to hear people talking about your music, because it always surprises me.
Yeah,
this is the first time anybody's ever said that. And Patti Smith, I mean, what an honor. Wow, Jen, that's so cool.
It's like raw and real like that. You know, like I feel like Patti Smith was one of those artists that was performing for herself always. Like she never bought into anything else that was going on. Like she was authentically herself. And I think that's the thing I took away from both albums. Like you're doing your own thing. You're doing what you want to do, what makes you happy. And that authenticity rings through. Like I can hear it in the way I hear it in Jeff Buckley, in the way I hear it in Minnie Riperton. So it did come through in that way. I'm like, oh yeah, I get the influences here. Even if musically or lyrically they sound different, intentionally they felt the same.
Yeah, definitely just kind of honoring the feelings and the spirit of what you need. You know what I mean? I think that it's really important, I think, to not, how do I rephrase this? The best art is created when it's honest and direct.
Yes.
You know, and I don't think anybody out there thinks they're not being honest or direct, but if your agenda is outside of just this is the thing that has to be expressed and I'm going to move towards where it's taking me. It has to, this feels the rightest version of it, or we're heading in that direction. That's always been kind of my guiding spirit. I would be a nightmare to work with if I had a producer who said, no, we want you to be shaped like this and we're marketing you as the next da 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 da. I'd just say, I'll try, but you know, it's going to sound bad. You know what I mean?
But I wish more people would say that. Like, that's not me. I don't fit in that box. I want to do what I want to do. And I think it's a lot more common now. I think artists have, well, because you don't have to be part of a big label. You know, you can do things more independently now. Yeah. But It is. It's that it's I for me, again, if my talent is being a music fan and we're considering that, like, you know, on a different but equal level as the musician, mm-hmm. I feel like part of my job or the way I receive or hear it, mm-hmm. it does have to ring true. I feel like yeah. I hear it differently, and it's almost like being out of tune if something doesn't feel like it's coming from an honest place.
Yeah. And it's very ephemeral. I think that that's kind of the special sauce of being an artist, right? Marketers and people who are trying to monetize will certainly try to bottle it and formulate it, but that's the whole point. It's almost like the uncertainty principle. You know, you can't yeah. have, you can't know it 100%. It removes this magical aspect of what makes art so like transcendent, and it moves you out of your prefrontal cortex. You know, this is where my mental health, like neuropsychology yes. comes in, but yeah, it moves you out of that like planning, thinking, super hyperconscious, super ego space into just your heart, you know?
And I feel like listeners hear that, right? Like if we're adding value to the listener contribution, for my, own ego, then I think that that's part of what we as listeners
yeah.
get from it, right? Is picking up that truth and then being able to apply it to whatever our truth looks like. And yeah. I think that's where it gets really cool for me in terms of, you know, just being a fan and getting to sit down and have conversations with musicians, because it does, it takes sort of this magical process and it illuminates it a little bit for me, or it helps me understand how one person is able to make that happen. Yeah. And how another person can enjoy it and take it and have a whole separate meaning for them. Right. Yeah. That's just, and it's why I could endlessly talk about music.
Oh my gosh. Well, and I'm just so honored and grateful that you were like, yes, I would like to talk about your songs. It's like, oh my God, I don't tend to go around eliciting people's opinions of my music. It's just kind of organic. You get instant feedback based on your performances and, right. you know, and I think it's just really lovely that you've given me this space, and also just
love
for it to really rave about just so many wonderful artists. And I mean, Jeff Buckley, Minnie Riperton. Huh. I'm going to go listen.
And Amanda B. We're going to put that in there.
Thank you so much.
I'm so excited for listeners to hear. I think it's so great. I think people that I know and people that I know that are fans of the show are going to be so excited to hear your music. So I really am excited to put it out there for others in a space that maybe it hasn't been before.
I really appreciate that. Well, you rock, Jen. Gosh. You've exposed me to a lot of really cool music. A lot of cool music, and your guests are always so cool to listen to. I love hearing how people process. It's also
yeah,
one of my
too.
Favorite things about meeting people. And that's how we met, Jen. It was just like getting to meet people through creative.
And that's been the whole thing. You know, I mean, I say this a lot when people ask about the podcast, and I say, you know, music has always been the thing. Like if I walk into a room where I don't know anybody, I look for the person wearing the band t-shirt or the hat, because I know I can instantly find a connection no matter what they look like, how old they are, where they're from. Like I can instantly find a connection with someone. And I'm like, well, if that's a way that I can connect with people, maybe it's a way others connect or can learn to connect. And this show has delivered tenfold for me in that space. It's given me so much back that I never anticipated, just in getting to share and hear people's stories. So thank you for sharing yours. I do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jen. This has been a really fun conversation. And again, Leathered is at leathered.bandcamp.com or Leathered for yes. the number 4 ever at Instagram or other socials, and TikTok, as long as TikTok yes. exists.
Well, and I'm also going to, right, that's a whole set. We'll do our episode about TikTok a little bit later. But also, too, for listeners that want to learn more about Amanda in general and listen to her podcast, 6 Degrees of Cats, you can visit that website, too, at linktree.com/6degreesofcats. That's linktr.ee/6degrees, degreesofcats. And you can also follow her on socials at 6 Degrees of Cats. And then she gave you the info to listen to Leathered, but definitely on Spotify, you can check out both albums. Again, Indictment is by Crazy Pills, and it is on the Restless album. And then you can also catch Hours by Leathered on the A Reckoning album, both on Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And on Bandcamp, they're both under Leathered.
Perfect. As always, please, listeners, be sure to follow, download, and share this show. And if you love listening, drop us a review on Apple. And last but not least, to stay informed on all things Super Awesome Mix and what are you listening to, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Super Awesome Mix. Thanks for listening, and please join me again next week to find your new favorite song.